For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How could the Detroit Pistons trade the fifth pick, and who could they get back? Plus, if the new president of basketball operations wants to fire Monty Williams, is that the right choice? Should they move on from him? All that and more on this week's edition of the Palace Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Maxeal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Sky's a jam. Dunk, and the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce. Detroit basketball.
Welcome to the Palace Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano. Joining me this week is Aaron Johnson, the usual cast of characters from yesteryear. Aaron, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. I know we're going to talk about a topic that will surely get the people going, so super excited to hear what people have to say, talking about how the Pistons can trade their first-round draft pick, the fifth pick in the draft, to better equip this team heading into next season. So I know that'll be a hot topic of debate in the YouTube comments and on Twitter and whatnot. So super excited to talk about that. And I know we're missing Jasper this week. But he'll be back next week, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say as well next week. But excited to get into what we've got cooking up for today.
Yes, we are going to get into it, and then some. But we'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, and that is Bet Online. And Bet Online is your number one source for all the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of 150 other slots games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's B-L-E-A-V for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use BetOnline. BetOnline, the game starts here. Well, okay, we'll get into our pre-show plugs as usual. So this is the obligatory, please subscribe to the Palace Pistons Substack. If you are watching this on YouTube, that will be in the show notes down below in the description. Please subscribe to our newsletter. You can do so as well at palacebusiness.com. You can read our latest release, which is Aaron talking about friend of the pod, Tim Forkins' favorite player in this draft, and that's Dalton Knecht. We're going to continue doing that for the next couple of weeks to talk about who the Pistons could take with the fifth pick. There's a lot of options. This is a very fluid draft, so be sure that you subscribe to palacebusiness.com. Or rather, you could go there to subscribe to our Substack, and you will get that content right to your email inbox when it goes live.
Really fun writing about Knecht. I think he's a really, really intriguing prospect. I know that people are going to dislike his age and taking him, as a potential top five pick. I know people are going to talk about his defensive shortcomings, but, you know, with there being no perfect prospects in this draft, as there never really are, right, but it's especially true this year. I really, really like Knecht as a fit with the Pistons. So yeah, again, definitely go check that out on palaceofpistons.com. I think you'll enjoy it. And if you don't, tell me why.
Yes, tell Aaron why. And I can't wait to read them all on next week's show. there's a lot of good possibilities at five. This is not a good draft by previous standards, but some of the previous drafts were loaded with talent. So, you know, you're due for a down year at some point. But let's go ahead and talk about that fifth pick, and not about selecting a player. Let's talk about what the Pistons can do to trade the fifth pick, because I think that's the move that most people would rather see happen. is moving the fifth pick for a win now guy. We've talked about it a few times over the course of even before the lottery of just, you know, do the Pistons make this pick at all? There's been a lot of speculation as to what Detroit is going to do with that fifth pick, a lot of different reporting. And that seems to be the case for a lot of teams picking in the lottery. It's very fluid. Atlanta at one, they could move their pick. Houston at three, they could move their pick. So it seems like at least one of those teams, along with Detroit, is going to end up moving out of one. The Spurs could move out of four. So to us, it seems like the best way to improve the roster is to trade that fifth pick, try to get a win now player, make a big splash to get somebody to go next to Cade Cunningham. We have brought a few of our trades to the table. Aaron, I want you to go first because you're going to immediately have a polarizing player.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to not only have people pile on you for the draft prospecting, but also this as well.
Oh, I know people are going to hate it. That's just the reality of it. And I am excited to talk about it because it is polarizing and I'm okay with being polarizing. I know people are going to be picky about, oh, the Pistons can't go after this former All-Star, or this current All-Star because he's not the exact perfect fit. Meanwhile, they refuse to understand the fact that this was a 14-win team and that all of their core players have not lived up to expectations so far. So they have to do something that might not be perfect, might be a little bit on the, you know, outside of normal, but they've got to do something. And so with my trade, it's a three-team trade involving the Pistons, the Knicks, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Detroit Pistons in this trade would receive Julius Randle from the Knicks and then Josh Giddey and Kenrich Williams from the Thunder. The Thunder would receive Jalen Duren from Detroit and former Piston Bojan Bogdanović from the Knicks. And New York would receive Isaiah Stewart, the fifth pick, and the Philadelphia 76ers 2025 first-round pick that is protected top six from Oklahoma City. That's the deal. I get it's crazy. I get it's a lot to take in. I think
say it one more time.
Sure, I'll say it one more time. Julius Randle, Josh Giddey, and Kenrich Williams to the Pistons. The Knicks would get Isaiah Stewart, the fifth pick in the draft from Detroit, and then a 2025 first-round pick from OKC. That's actually Philadelphia's 2025 first-rounder, and it's protected through the top six. And then OKC receives Jalen Duren and Bojan Bogdanović. So here's my thought process. I think the first thing people are going to say is, why would the Knicks do that? And let's look at what the Knicks have going on heading into the offseason now that they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Jalen Brunson is widely expected to sign a max contract extension this summer. OG Anunoby is largely expected to decline a $20 million player option and enter unrestricted free agency. The Knicks are highly expected to re-sign him to a near max level contract. With where the NBA is going, it is very, very hard to build a team around a roster built with three max contract players, which Julius Randle is. So if they're going to max Brunson, they're going to near max or max in Anunoby, and they'd still like to have the flexibility to maybe go get a real star to pair alongside Brunson. Not that Anunoby isn't a good player, but he's not necessarily a star. It means Julius Randle might be kind of a scapegoat in this situation. Obviously, missed the large chunk of the season, the back end of the season with New York, missed the playoffs, but was still very, very good when he played. He was an all-star this year. He was an all-star last year. But the Knicks have to clear some cap space. They also have to build out the roster. And with a bunch of guys hitting free agency, Isaiah Hartenstein being one of them. They have a couple other names that were involved in their rotation that they're going to have to try to figure out if they want to keep or replace them on the roster. They're going to need cap space and they're going to need financial flexibility. This gives them a potential replacement to Hartenstein, a replacement for Julius Randle and Isaiah Stewart, who's on a, what many would say, a good contract. There were a lot of teams that have been previously interested in Isaiah Stewart in the past, and then also gives the Knicks a couple options. They can use the fifth pick to draft a player that they feel might be able to play some minutes for them next year, but on a cheaper contract. They're not going to be paying this guy $15, $18, $20 million a year like you would have to pay someone like Bojan Bogdanović, who's due $19 million next season if whatever team he's on accepts his team option. So the Knicks gain some draft picks, some assets, some financial flexibility in this deal, and get a young guy in Stewart on a new contract, but also on a contract that's nowhere near the price of Julius Randle. And maybe it's not Randle's full value. I think that's going to be the first thing people say, is that they're, you know, kind of selling short on Randle. I don't even necessarily disagree with that. And the Pistons can probably get beat out in a trade like this. But that's the reality of the Pistons trying to make deals this summer. Unless they're throwing in all of their young guys outside of Cade Cunningham, they don't have a ton to trade with. They just don't. So that's why the Knicks are, that's the Knicks side of it. For the Pistons, they get Julius Randle. They get a proven all-star level player, 25-9-4 this year with the Knicks. They get Josh Giddey, who can come in and be a backup guard for them. They need a backup point guard. Josh Giddey can be that. And then they get another forward in Kenrich Williams, who can space the floor, play a little bit of defense. For the Thunder, it gets them a center in Jalen Duren. It gets them someone to defend and rebound the basketball. I know Duren's defense is definitely a question mark, but they've certainly needed some additional size. And Duren is often talked about as someone with just great size, great strength. I think he makes sense for them as another young player to put, I think, could potentially pair alongside Chet Holmgren. And then they get Bojan Bogdanović to replace some of the Gordon Hayward minutes, give them another option on the wing. I know they've got a lot of different contracts that are coming up in the near future. They're not going to be able to keep everyone around. So Bogdanović for 1 year gives them a player that can space the floor as a veteran presence and can help them. So I know that's a lot to take in. Mike, I don't know what talking points you have based off that deal. I don't know how fair you feel that deal is for everyone. I don't think everyone's going to say this is a fair trade for all sides, and I get that. But trying to make a trade with the Detroit Pistons right now is proving to be a little bit difficult.
You know, it is difficult, because when we were discussing doing this thought exercise for the podcast, I went into the trade machine, like many people are doing right now, figuring out what the Pistons could do. And it is not easy, because of Duren and Ivy being desirable, but not desirable enough to really be like needle moving type of players. The fifth pick is not super well regarded. And the rest of the roster outside of Cade Cunningham is not appealing to a lot of people. So it is hard. I was trying to look at a Michael Porter Jr. trade, as he's a kind of a buy low guy who is making a lot of money, but the Pistons have a lot of money to play with. And he's a guy that you might not have to give up hardly anything for. I mean, I saw fake trades with Michael Porter Jr. of like Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, and you get back, you know, a first and a second from Denver. I saw quite interesting trades because his contract is so large. And even then I was having an issue trying to find something for the Pistons. So it's not easy. As for your trade, I'm not a fan of Julius Randle, just his style of play. He is coming off of a kind of meh season. He was still an all-star, but it was a downgrade kind of year for him. I think shooting across the board, his turnovers were up a little bit. He is making $30 million next year. He has a $32 million player option the year after, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. But, you know, I think that's somewhere in the ballpark of the type of player that Detroit's going to have to try to get. He is a needle mover, whether you like to admit it or not. He is a good player, and he would be the second best player on the Pistons right now, which is more of an indictment on them than Julius Randle being the second best player on any team right now. But I still like it. I think the Giddey and Kenrich Williams is really interesting. In fact, if we could just take the Knicks out of it entirely and give Isaiah Stewart to the Thunder, who were a team that was interested in Stewart as a stretchy five or four, I'd be interested in that as well. Giddey take the stuff off the court aside, he was played out of the playoff series against Dallas because he is just not a good shooter. He actually shot just a whisker better from three than Jaden Ivey did this past year. If you're going to call Giddey a bad shooter, Jaden Ivey was also not a very good shooter. Giddey's tall. You're looking for another playmaker. That's never been a question of his, is the playmaking side. He can get downhill, but I really like Kenrick Williams. I think that's the kind of veteran presence that the Pistons need as a shooter. I just don't like Julius Randle, and I kind of get it though. I do get it.
But that's the position that the Pistons are in. You know,
it's true.
You can't be picky when you won 14.
Correct.
And look, man, if Julius Randle comes in and doesn't have a great year, which I would be shocked over, because who is taking the ball out of his hands in Detroit? It's a little bit different in New York, where there were seemingly more mouths to feed. I get Cade Cunningham's here, but every good team has two guys that take the ball, absorb possessions, are on the hierarchy above everybody else. Like, Julius Randle's been an all-star in three of the past 4 years. He's a 25-point-per-game scorer. Again, not a perfect player, clearly has his deficiencies, but the Pistons won 14 games last year. The Pistons won, 17 games the year before that. They have to start trying to get better. And you could say, oh, well, just, let these core guys develop. Let these core guys develop. It's just not how the NBA works. And it hasn't worked in Detroit. So, yes, you're giving up some pieces. You're giving up some assets to get a guy like Julius Randle. But he still helps this team, even if he's not perfect. You've got to find a way to put spacing around him and Cunningham. You've got to get some a defensive-minded big out there as well. But he helps this team. He helps them win more basketball games.
He does. Even when the Knicks were kind of like on the up and up, didn't quite have Brunson yet, Julius Randle was still a very solid player. He shot like 41% from three during the strange COVID season. That is crazy. I did just run this trade in the trade machine, and it does work. I'm sure that you already ran it, but it does work. The Knicks take the biggest hit, but I actually can't include the 2024 pick for Detroit because it's not in the trade machine yet, technically, because I think they have to pick for the team first. I'm not sure exactly the order of operations and how that goes, but it does work in the trade machine, at least financially. But I think it's interesting, if you're cashing in Durant, Ivy, and five, and you're getting an immediate plug and play player like Randle who fits a need, you're getting an immediate plug and play player like Giddey who fits a need, and you're getting a good fit in Kenrick Williams that immediately makes the team, or at least the bench, a little bit stretchier, which has been part of the problem for them. So I approve of the trade. Randle is a tough sell for a lot of people, but you are absolutely correct. That's the kind of position that the Pistons are in. Same thing with Michael Porter Jr. He's making
an get bashed in the comments over it. I know it's coming, but find the perfect trade. Also, I didn't pick Brandon Ingram or DeJounte Murray or all of these players that, we've talked about for forever, it feels like. I mean, I still think Brandon Ingram is like the most ideal target for Detroit, but we've already talked about him probably three of the last four or five weeks. So it's like, it doesn't do anyone any favors to go and bring up Brandon Ingram again when he has been talked about so much. I'm trying to think outside the box a little bit here, think a little bit bigger. You could talk about going after more of a couple role player type guys. Like, if they did just kind of cut New York out of that deal and they tried to do something like Stewart for Giddey and Williams, like, yeah, you could talk about that, but that doesn't move the needle for them in the same sense of getting an all-star level player like a Randle or a Murray, or dare I say, even a Zach LaVine might. I mean, I don't want to trade for Zach LaVine. I've been very clear about that. I don't think he's the type of guy the Pistons should be trying to trade for, but at the same time, it's hard to look at the season that they just had, a 14-win team where a lot of their young guys seemingly regressed. They didn't get better, at least. And it's hard to say, well, they don't need a Zach LaVine. They shouldn't want a Zach LaVine. I mean, LaVine's a good player in a vacuum, but that's just the position that the Pistons are in. Like, you don't want to turn down talent because you so desperately need it, but some of these guys may not be exact perfect fits. And I understand that Randall is not necessarily the perfect guy in many NBA fans' minds. Meanwhile, if there are somehow any Knicks fans listening to this podcast, they're probably cussing me out for valuing Julius Randle the way that I did in that deal. So that's just the nature of trying to make trades.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
And this is why the trade machine is just, it gets to deplorable levels at this time of year when we're kind of waiting for the offseason to be here. And it's all that we have to work off of is speculation. Michael Porter Jr. was somebody that I looked at trying to get because I think that is the kind of buy low. And he's making a lot of money. He's making a lot of money. He's in year three of a 5-year deal, I think. He's made like $35 million a year or some absurd number. Let me pull it up. But that's the kind of like buy low type of guy that the Pistons are going to have to look at and think, is this worth it? Because you probably don't have to give up. You might have to give up five to do that, which is pretty crazy. Like Denver's in such a financial pickle and not getting out of the second round after winning the NBA championship the year prior. They're in a pickle because they have to re-sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because they are going to look to pay KCP. And they are in the position of, okay, do we, you know, consider MPJ a salary, basically a dump? And I don't know if they're willing to do that. They, you know, it depends what Calvin Booth wants to really do and, you know, how they could tweak that roster. They've been so good with second round draft picks like Julian Strother and other guys like Christian Brown that maybe they roll the dice and see what they can do. But they've exhausted the second rounders. They might have to do something like trade Michael Porter Jr. And if that's the case, then the Pistons could be in the same ilk of trying to get Julius Randle as a plug and play guy. MPJ certainly fits the bill as someone that you could put in at the three or the four, and he can provide spacing. He can provide a little bit of playmaking. He's got size that would really be interesting. It's just, what does that look like? And I went through the trade machine trying to find guys that would fit. And it's not easy. You know, if you give the Nuggets someone like Evan Fournier that they could just terminate the contract and clear cap space, I don't think you can actually do that after a trade. The trade machine would not let me do it. You might not have to give up five to make that happen. You know, that might even be too rich. And I don't know what other teams are able and willing to take on his contract. So he was a guy that I was looking at trying to make a trade work. They haven't expressed any interest in Isaiah Stewart, but that would get some of the financials a little bit closer. And I looked at DeJounte Murray again, under the assumption that the Hawks are going to absolutely blow it up and build around Alex Saar and Jalen Johnson, the Trae Young stuff we've talked about ad nauseum. And he's just as difficult to make the money work as Michael Porter Jr. But my trade had DeJounte Murray and Clint Capella coming to Detroit. Capella would easily slot in as a center, whether he's backing up Durin or not. But I had Ivy and Stewart and five going back to the Hawks, who are in full rebuild mode. You get a guy like Murray who fits seamlessly next to Cade Cunningham. You move off of Isaiah Stewart's contract. You do take on Clint Capella's 22.2 mil, which will soak up quite a bit of the cap, along with Murray's 25 and some change, I think. But that was the move that I had. We've talked about Murray a lot. I get that. But it seems like with Trae Young changing representation away from clutch, he's probably not going to the Lakers. That would leave the Knicks or the Pistons or San Antonio as a team that would want to get in on Trae Young. And if they do that, if the Spurs give up 4 and 8 plus salary to get Trae, you know, I don't see why the Hawks would keep Murray when they could offload him and get another haul, maybe get five out of the deal with Detroit. And then they pretty much control the draft lottery for this year. In a bad draft, but when you're a team like them trying to find an identity, you want as many bullets in the chamber as possible. And they would certainly get that.
I don't dislike that trade whatsoever. And I think if you're Detroit and you're getting Clint Capella back to take on those minutes at center, and you're Atlanta and you're probably saying, look, we gave up 4 first-round picks to get DeJounte Murray, we can't just take one pick back in a weak class. I think that's where then you could loop in OKC again and say, look, you've got all these picks. You know, you can either get Capella rerouted to you. You could get Jalen Duren. You've got to get a first to Atlanta. And then you know, if you're getting Duren, Detroit probably needs to get something from Oklahoma City. But there's a way to like sweeten that deal for the Hawks if they're like, we're dead set on getting 2 first-round picks along with whatever else. And not that Jaden Ivey and Isaiah Stewart aren't valuable, but it's just like they might, it just sounds like they feel so strongly about getting first round picks back that's where that third team might have to come in. And, you know, in a deal where there's a center involved in Capella and the Pistons could move on from Duren, there's a way to make that work, considering what we feel Oklahoma City wants to do as well to beef up their front court. So I don't dislike that whatsoever. I think DeJounte Murray, as I said when we were talking about this before the trade deadline, I think DeJounte Murray should be a target for the Pistons. I don't see any issue playing him alongside Cade Cunningham. Again, you need talent. You need proven NBA players. DeJounte Murray is that. So I like that deal from Detroit's perspective. I think if Atlanta's trying to blow things up and they can get Ivy, if they're going to trade both Murray and Trae Young, Ivy gives them a high ceiling guard that obviously would have the reps and the opportunity to grow into being a very, very talented player. You know, I don't know what their plans are with someone like Kobe Bufkin, but they could ideally, if they are blowing this up, come out with a lineup next season of like Kobe Bufkin, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Johnson, and 1 or 2 first-round picks from this year's draft. Maybe it's an Alex Saar and a Zakari Richechet or someone like that. And it's like, okay, you've got a core to start your rebuild with, and you've probably got a couple other assets in the chamber now as well. So if they are looking to tear things apart between Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, they should be getting enough first-round picks back. that there's interest in also bringing in a couple young players that they can see what they can do with as they start that rebuild. So I like that trade from both perspectives, if the Hawks are indeed planning to blow things up.
And one other thing on that, because I've read a couple of Hawks guys who cover the Hawks. They're not on the beat, but they watch them a lot more than I do. And Onyeka Okongwu is someone that I've always liked a lot at center, but he's a guy that would, you know, him and Sarr would be, let's just say that they do take Alex Sarr. He's a guy that there would immediately be a block. And Okongwu might be a guy that if Capella is headed somewhere, like an OKC who needs a big, could the Pistons sneak in and give up Okongwu, or I'm sorry, and get Okongwu out of it if they're moving on from Duren? And that's another guy that I've always liked a lot, who to me would make sense on the Pistons. He's less of an offensive threat. He's more of a rim protector. The Pistons struggled with rim protection for most of the year. They have for a few years. So that's another guy that, hey, maybe if you go in and you can get Okongwu, he makes $14 million a year, and he just signed an extension for four years, $14 million each. So it's like $56 or $58 million. That's a guy that I wouldn't hate that either. If you're not going to get a center in the draft, like if you're going to end up trading out of five and you're not going to get a Donovan Clingan, and you know, you're not going to get a big, then he's a guy that should be someone that the Pistons could see if they could lump into that trade with DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, I would be okay with that as well. It's in the reality of it is, like, first off, show me the perfect trade. You're not going to be able to.
It doesn't exist.
The Pistons want to make serious changes this offseason, apparently. It's still got to wait because they don't have a president of basketball operations yet, but they supposedly want to make some serious changes. So if they're going to do that, it's going to cost them some of their best assets, Ivy, Durin, Stewart, the fifth pick, whatever. Like, I know Cade's pretty much off the table. I think Asar Thompson is probably behind him in that regard, but also pretty safe, I would say, unless they really could get someone, which I am personally of the opinion that if they can get someone, like Asar Thompson should be movable. But they're going to have to use some of these assets if they're going to be involved in the trade market, which is what we've been told they want to do. They don't have the other contracts or the other assets to work with. They don't have future first-round picks until 2028 that they can trade. They don't have a bunch of other young prospects or good role players that are on solid contracts that can just be thrown into these trades to help make things work. They just don't. They have a ton of roster spots that are going to be available, and then they have a ton of young guys that make up the rest of that team. So it's just hard to get something done. It's hard to get a good player or two good players without being willing to give up draft compensation or some of your better young players. So no, everyone's going to be upset about, oh, how are you giving up on Jaden Ivey already? You know, he just turned 22. Like, he had such a great rookie year. Monty Williams messed him up his first year here. How can you give up on Jalen Duren? Double-double machine, this and that. It's like, it's not necessarily – you want to give up on these guys, but if you're going to get better, you've got to give up something to do that. And that's what Detroit has to work with. That's the reality.
Yeah. They're just stuck. I mean, I invite anybody to go onto the trade machine and look at all these contracts that the Pistons have and try to cobble together something of value to get back. I mean, Troy Brown Jr. Well, I mean, what are we going to, he shot like 26% from three in the short time he was there. It's like, what are you going to do with that? Is Quentin Grimes gettable? You know, are they concerned about his health with his knee? Hard to say how much they value him because he couldn't get on the court. He's probably not going to be traded either, but you never know. Stewart, he's got fans on the beat, especially. It's like, but it's just hard to make these things work. So I invite anybody to go onto the trade machine and see what they could put together. I'm all for suggestions, but it ultimately doesn't matter until the Pistons do hire a president of basketball operations. And we're still waiting on that. We thought maybe last week we would get some news on Tim Connelly joining, but the Wolves ended up winning and advancing to the Western Conference Finals. So that has put that on ice. And to me, it doesn't close the door on Tim Connelly, but it kind of all but closes the door on Tim Connelly just because the Pistons are going to run out of time. Coaches are already being hired. The Cavaliers are still in their bunker deciding what to do with JB Bickerstaff. And I think part of the reason that they are in that position is there's not a whole lot of coaches that make a whole lot of sense. So what are you going to do with Monty Williams, who's been kind of pseudo on the hot seat for a while? So to me, they have to make a decision soon on who they're going to hire for the president of basketball operations. So speaking of him or her, and speaking of Monty, what is your opinion on the president of basketball operations coming in, firing Monty, cleaning house, the coaching staff, and whatnot? It seems like the Pobo is going to have free rein to fire both Troy Weaver and Monty. Weaver could, accept being pushed down in the pecking order in terms of power. He could be fired. But Monty's the interesting one because they've given so much money to him in the at the time the richest contract in coaching history. What is your opinion on firing Monty should the president of basketball operations come in and say, yeah, we have to clean house?
Look, I've been of the opinion that Monty Williams was an absolute disaster in his first season as this team's head coach. Tom Gores committed a ton of money to him, and to be fair, at the time when it happened, wasn't a single person saying that that was a bad hire. I didn't say it. You didn't say it. Jasper didn't say it. No one said, "Oh, maybe they shouldn't hire Monty Williams. Maybe that's not a great hire." Everyone said that was a good hire, and it looked like a good hire, but I think everyone was wrong because it just wasn't. And the way that this team performed, you look at the losing streak, the record-setting losing streak, the record-setting record, the regression seemingly of some of the most important young pieces on this team outside of Cade Cunningham, and you wonder how can that coach stay? If a team makes the playoffs and gets eliminated, and a coach like Frank Vogel is let go, how can a coach that won 14 games survive? That's what I'm wondering. And I think it's a tough position to put this new president of basketball operations in, to walk in and have to figure out as much as he's going to have to figure out before the draft. And then free agency right after that. But it's hard for me to say Monty Williams deserves another shot. It's just too important that they get this thing turned around and turned around fast. So I think the new president of basketball operations needs to come in and needs to make serious, serious changes. I think that starts with looking at the leadership from last year.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, you don't think it's too late?
I don't. What could it get any worse? Could hiring a new coach make anything worse at this point?
You could hire JB in about 3 or 4 days.
Would that not be an upgrade?
I mean, 114 actually. Yes, it probably would be. It probably would be. But you know, teams are making, like the Jordy Fernandez type of hire. That's who we thought the Pistons should be going after last summer. And by the way, we are, all three of us are on the record as really liking this hire of Monty Williams. We were singing praises of the organization for doing the right thing. Tom Gore is shelling out the money to go get a coach. I get not wanting to keep him. It was awful. It was bad. And, you know, if he does get fired, so be it. He's not going to lose any sleep over it. He's getting paid no matter what. Tom Gores is writing the check. Doesn't really matter to me. It's not my money. But you don't think it's too late. So are there any names in mind for replacements that you'd be interested in?
It's tough because it doesn't seem like there's a very robust coaching market out there this time around. You know, we've talked about it before. Going after a retread it is not appealing. It's not desirable to just go get a guy like Frank Vogel or some of these other coaches that have maybe been out of a job for a year or two, and bringing them back into the fold, like, just doesn't really do anything for me. This team seems to need a guy that maybe hasn't been a head coach yet, but has been a well-respected assistant coach that's just kind of been biding his time. I don't know who that is. I'm not an NBA decision maker, so I can't tell you the names there. But what I can speak to is that what happened in Detroit this past season was an utter disaster. It was chaos, and it's hard to sign up for another year of that. I mean, what do you do? Do you go into the season with Monty, and if it's 25 games in and this team's won 5 games, do you pull the plug? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, like, what does Detroit do at this point? I don't know. Do they want a guy like JJ Redick if he doesn't get the Lakers job? I mean, do they want a guy like Sam Cassell, who's interviewed for several NBA coaching or head coaching positions before? Like, do they want to try to get Chauncey Billups from the Blazers if he does end up leaving Portland? I don't know what the best course of action for them is. And look, like we've said, you know, we like Monty Williams last year, so we don't know everything. But I just don't know if I buy stock in bringing him back next year and thinking that things are going to get better. I don't know what I saw this year that indicates it was, you know, a year of putting in a system and laying the foundation. I didn't see any of that. I just saw regression, and I saw dejection, and I saw record-breaking history that you don't want to be on the side of. So that's where I'm at. Who's got the answers? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I do. I don't got all of them, but who do the people want to be the next head coach of the Pistons? I think some would say JJ Redick. I really do.
I really do too. And that's a really bizarre situation because the Lakers are looking for a head coach, and JJ Redick's been linked to it. Sam Cassell's been linked to it. I think there are still some good names out there if the Pistons do want to get into the coaching pool again. I do think that J.B. Bickerstaff will be available as soon as Friday. I don't mind him. He navigated the Cavaliers out of the lottery team to winning their first playoff series without LeBron since before I was born in 1993. You know, that is commendable. I like Sam Cassell. I like Dave Adelman out of Mike Malone's coaching tree. I don't mind Chris Quinn either out of Eric Spoelstra's coaching tree. I think there are names out there. I don't really like Frank Vogel. That doesn't do anything for me. I think you're just like looking at Monty 2.0, a guy who not only came from the same team that he was fired from with Phoenix, but a guy who's looking for maybe a payday. And I think he is already getting paid. It doesn't really do anything for me. He's a fine coach, but seems like he's more geared up for a playoff. So there are guys out there that I would be fine with. It's just a matter of, do you do that? And to play devil's advocate to you, and I totally get wanting to fire Monty, and it's entirely justified. You talked about foundation. The foundation of that team was set by Troy Weaver. That foundation, it was crumbling before Monty even got here. Is part of my problem with firing him after one season is that I don't think he was given a fair shot. There was regression, and that's not debatable. It's also not justifiable. Those guys should have played better. They were still going to be bad, but they didn't need to be 14 games bad, which is just unacceptable. But I do think it's a unique circumstance where he's getting paid so much money, and the team is going to look totally different next year. I mean, that's the expectation. And you might have, should better have a new president of basketball operations. Troy Weaver should be out of the picture. Could have a new general manager. I think it might be worth giving him one more season to try to right the ship, depending on what they do in the offseason. I think it's just such a unique situation. But again, just play devil's advocate. He should be fired. It's more than justifiable. But the team was just so busted even before he got here, and the cupboard so barren that it's just very, very, it's very strange.
Troy Weaver may have laid the foundation of this team, but Monty Williams was the one that started Killian Hayes over Jaden Ivey. Monty Williams Correct. Was the one that continued to play Isaiah Stewart and Jalen Duren together as the team's starting four and starting five together, despite there being no spacing on the court around the star player, the franchise player, Cade Cunningham. Monty Williams is the guy whose rotation would extend into 12 players deep within the first half of a game. Monty Williams didn't seem like he had much of a plan at any given point. It was just kind of like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what would stick. And it didn't work. And if that's the plan as a head coach, I don't think you can sign up for another year of that when things have to get better. People are frustrated. People are demanding change. And if it doesn't come, you're probably losing not just fans, but you're probably losing the one meaningful thing that this team has right now in Cade Cunningham. So I just don't know where the confidence is in bringing Williams back.
It's definitely not a confidence move. And it's really hinges on a lot of other things that the Pistons have to get right, which as of now, I just don't have the trust. So I totally get it. I really do. Hopefully the Pobo will be hired soon. I don't think it'll be Tim Connolly unless there is some serious back channeling happening right now. But maybe we'll get a Trae Young Langdon. Maybe we'll get a John Hammond. We'll have to see. But that person's going to wield some pretty significant voting and vetoing power in the front office. And, you know, they just really have to nail this hire. Much like we thought they had to nail the coaching hire last year, they really, like, really have to nail this hire. Because if this person's going to have power, you don't want to give it to a crazy person like a Mike Holmgren. I remember Browns fans were so happy that they got Mike Holmgren to be the GM, and I think he sat on his chair and drank drinks with a little umbrella in them for the entire duration of his time. So they really have to nail this hire.
They do. And that's the scary thing, because we thought they did. We thought they did last year when they hired Monty Williams. And look, I would have been okay, you know, if there was, you know, the foundation of an identity being built from last year and things didn't, you know, go great. Like, that would be one thing. If it seemed like players were really bought into being a defensive minded team, and there was a commitment to that side of the court, or they were really run and gun and were this hyper efficient offensive team that hasn't figured out how to play a full 48 minutes on defense yet. Like, but they just don't have that. And I haven't gotten the vibe that there's confidence inside on Monty Williams. So why should anyone on the outside have it? And maybe a lot of that is stemming from the position he was put in under Troy Weaver's roster assembly. But I just don't know how you look at all these other teams and how quickly they've moved to make changes and make replacement hires. Don't know how you're the worst team in the league and don't think you might need to do the same.
Right. Agreed. Aaron, anything else for this edition of the Palace Pistons podcast? Talked about the fifth pick, who we want to get for that pick, not necessarily selecting, but who we'd want to get in a trade. And then we talked about firing Monty Williams. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up?
Look, we said it last week, you know, hoping that we'd have an update. Hopefully we have one next week on the president of basketball operations search. I would imagine Tim Connelly is probably just out of the running at this point. Like, Minnesota's embarking on a conference final series that they very much could win and then be playing in the finals. That takes you all the way into the middle of June, which would take you, you know, to a week, 2 weeks before the NBA draft. You can't wait until 2 weeks before the NBA draft to sign a president of basketball operations. The ball has to get rolling soon. I think you're looking at a guy like Dennis Lindsay, Scott Perry, Trajan Langdon. I think you're looking at those other candidates that have been reported at this point. And I think that's where the hire is likely going to come. It's unfortunate if Tim Connelly was a real legitimate possibility, which all signs point to it being, considering the reporting, considering the Pistons have waited this long to hire. It seems like they have really wanted to talk to Connelly and see if they could make something work, but it just doesn't look like they're going to have the time and ability to do so. So now it's, what does the firm think of these other candidates? What does the search firm have to say for them? Do they start the interview process? Have they already talked to those guys? What does Tom Gores think? What do other key stakeholders, like maybe Arne Tellem, think of these guys? And you've got to get the ball rolling, because they've got to make those decisions. Troy Weaver, on Monty Williams, on the draft. If they're going to try to trade that pick on draft night, what are they going to do in free agency a week after that? So there's a lot of things that have to go down. They've got to make this hire soon. I would hope by next week we at least have an update on, like, you know, the Pistons are down to these two or three guys. They've held interviews with so-and-so, and they're making the final decision by the end of May or something along those lines.
Yeah, I think they're just going to run out of time with Tim Connelly. Maybe had the Wolves lost, it would be a different story, but they didn't. They won. So I agree. They're going to have to go with one of the other options. But time is running out. Like you said, draft, free agency, around the corner, re-signing players. Cade Cunningham is eligible for a rookie scale max extension. That undoubtedly is going to be on the incoming president of basketball operations' mind as well. So lots to think about. Lots to discuss. We will be discussing it hopefully on next week's show, be able to talk about who they hired. I do want to give a couple of plugs at the end here for the Palace Pistons YouTube channel, which is continuing to populate with more and more clips from past podcasts. And if you're watching the podcast on YouTube right now, please take 30 seconds. You could leave a like on this video and subscribe. It does help us tremendously, and it is free to you. You can also follow us on social media, on TikTok at Palace Pistons, on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Palace of Pistons, Instagram, Palace Pistons, and Facebook at Palace of Pistons. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Palace Pistons podcast. Aaron, good talking to you as always, my friend.
Always a blast, and you did a good job on the plugs this week, Mike. I know that's usually my job, but you stepped in right there, came up to the plate and hit a home run. Go subscribe, go follow, go do all that good stuff. Let us know what you think on our trades, on who the coach should be, on if Monty Williams should be back. We want to hear about all that. We love all the interaction in the YouTube comments. People love to talk in there. People love to say whatever's on their mind. So definitely appreciate that and giving us your time and coming to us for thoughts on the Pistons and valuing what we have to say is so greatly appreciated.
Yes, and one last plug for the Substack. As we did at the top of the show, please do subscribe. There's content coming to you every Friday in the form of this podcast, every Wednesday in the form of whatever is on Aaron's mind. Lately, it's prospects, and then every Monday morning is the weekly drive, which is courtesy of me. So now this is really going to do it for this edition of the Palace Pistons podcast. I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, that is BetOnline. And again, you can use the promo code BLEAV at BetOnline to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. For Aaron Johnson, I am Mike Anguilano. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of the Palace Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. And we'll see you all next time.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.